Or should I say, me, 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 me? No, no, I won't. It's Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education 2026. Class is in session. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Tim Slicker, we're here. Well, it's Doctors Tim and Doctors Johnny. And the me, we'll get into it one of these days, but Johnny needs some vocal training. And so I was just showing him, you know, when I used to work at a summer camp, the music people, I don't want to say the music nerds because people make fun of the music, but I'd always hear the vocal training outside my cabin. And me, just all morning long.
Oh,
and so,
and they're all podcast hosts now.
Yeah,
so it just goes to show you.
Oh, anyway, we'll get into it, but you know, it is 2026, all kinds of stuff going on. In case anyone hasn't been paying attention to anything, Maduro said I didn't do it. So there you go, Johnny. You got to throw a little bit of current events in there. But yeah, Maduro said he didn't do it. And Trump said, well, too bad. Other countries, we're coming after you next. A whole lot going on there. I think this is one of the things that we want to talk about in the future too, America's premise. But, you know, one of the biggest kind of pet peeves that I've had for Johnny, you point out it's been a long time, but Jacob, you sent us this great article from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Why, and, yes, I did.
And again, reminder for you know, listeners out there, from 2013 to 2020, I myself was a Wisconsin Madison area resident, dean of the School of Education at Edgewood College, and I actually was on Wisconsin Public Radio quite a few times, and I got to talk about this, and in fact talked about this issue. Headline: more Wisconsin teachers hold emergency licenses. And in the subtitle, DPI, that would be the Department of Public Instruction, issued about 4,000 emergency licenses in the 2023-24 school year, up 20% from 2022. And I'm going to just leave it there and see what Doctors Johnny and Chairman of the Board Jacob make of this article before I launch.
Can I ask a chairman question real quick before we get into it? Because I am, everybody knows this. I've been on the show for about 9 months now, and I've learned a lot about education, but I'm still a novice on some of these, you know, these technical matters. Now, emergency teaching license certainly sounds like it means something to me, but can you tell me specifically what actually is an emergency teaching license? Do you need any sort of teaching experience to hop in and get one of these? Is there any qualification, or is it basically we got to fill these seats with people to come in here and hang out with these kids and keep them busy? I mean, what is an emergency teaching license?
Well, before I jump in, Johnny, you take a stab at it. What do you think?
Well, yeah, Jacob, that's a good question. And Tim, I actually am going to defer to you. I'll take a stab at this, but I'm going to defer to you. Like, we're going to play some, you know, volleyball, and we're going to send the ball back over the net to Tim in just a second here, because you are really close in your research on, like, you know, teacher labor. And, you know, you've called it for years, the teacher exodus, and you've championed on Busted Pencils and in other outlets of, you know, sharing your work that, you know, we don't have a teacher shortage, yet we say there's a shortage of teachers. We do not in this country have a shortage of highly qualified people who are licensed and certified to teach. We just have a really bad record of retaining those highly qualified people in the profession. And Tim, you could speak to that. You've called it the teacher exodus for years. And sort of have battled back at, you know, media's depiction of the teacher shortage. But Jacob, your question is important because it's real and it's on the ground. We can get into the weeds on why there's a shortage of teachers or why there's an, as Tim calls it, the teacher exodus that's not new, but certainly still going. As we all know, it is not gotten any easier to be a teacher in 2026. It's only been a week, right? We're just getting back into class, but yet we know post-COVID things have been harder for teachers than maybe ever arguably in the profession. And that's coming, you know, right from the classrooms of veteran teachers, of really great teachers, of new teachers, of principals, of school leaders. It has always been difficult to be a teacher, but it has only gotten harder and we've put more demands on our teachers than ever. So we'll come back to that. But Jacob actually asked, what is an emergency teacher's license? And Tim said, I'll ask Johnny to answer.
Well, I just wanted you to throw it.
Johnny's going
to
talk a lot about it, but in short, right? It's basically like a driver's permit, Jacob. You're allowed to teach because it's not, no, you can't just have anybody walk into our public schools anywhere in the state, in our states, you know, in the U.S. and teach. There's varying levels of what's required to be a licensed teacher state to state. Remember, a little lesson here in class and session, education is a state right. So this is under the Office of Superintendents in each state. So it's state determined. But in a sense, Jacob, you get a permit which allows for you to teach in public schools. And it's issued typically by the State Department, right? And usually, and this is where Tim's going to get into some of the weeds here for us, but usually, Jacob, there are some requirements. There's usually some stipulations. And it's usually that you need at least a bachelor's degree. And sometimes you need a few formal teaching qualifications that are look a little short of the standard state licensure, right? But usually involves some kind of enrollment or plan to be in an alternative certification program, right? Or in some special district need area. Maybe, for example, you were an engineer for years and you're going to, you know, teach math or science or computer programming in a public school that has a high need. There's a shortage for that. They need someone to teach the class. You have the skill, the degree area, and you have some, this is where it gets gray. You have some kind of qualification. Maybe you've led, you know, youth internship programs or something. Ideally, you have some connection to education and a plan to become a licensed teacher. That's in best case scenarios. Now, Jacob, before I pass it back over to Tim, this is class in session, right? The other thing to note here is that in some states, it's easier to get your teacher's license than it is your driver's license. So this is state to state. Ideally, highly qualified teachers in a great state like Wisconsin or Minnesota, you're listening in, or Michigan, you're in our listener base, or anywhere in our country. Most states with highly qualified teachers, right, have a whole degree program and accreditation that those teachers go through. So there's usually programming in place. But this is essentially, you know, like a temporary business license or, you know, a driver's permit. You can be in the classroom. You pass, you know, you clear security clearances, you know, you've fingerprinted, you're okay in that realm. You've done some basic HR stuff. You have not been certified to be a licensed teacher, but you know what to do. And apparently at least people around you, principals, superintendents, and other teachers say, this would be a great person to add to our school, have teaching our kids. That's best case scenario. So Jacob, that's the long version of what it means. I have no idea what Tim's doing. He's taking his pulse. He's grumbling over there about something. Qualifications,
Johnny.
Oh, the pulse. I'm like, is this a cue we didn't talk about? Like we're supposed to know these hand gestures. I'm going to pass it back to you, Jacob and Tim though, because Tim certainly knows firsthand about this really, really good information.
All right, Jacob. You want to add a little bit more or a little bit more?
I do, Tim, because what I'm hearing, I think I'm getting it. Basically, it's a waiving of some of the standard requirements for teachers. And depending on the state, if you're in a state, let's say I'm making it up, but let's say Connecticut has really high standards. if you get an emergency teaching license in Connecticut, it may mean you're totally qualified in Kentucky or a different state. You're just quite at the standard of whatever. And it really depends on the state to tell you how good an emergency teacher could be. Was Johnny's description correct, Tim? I know Johnny and we study other areas of research.
It's a mess. Let me just say, actually, what this article points out is that Johnny Lupinacci is wrong. It is easier now than ever to, quote, become a teacher every single day since this, quote, shortage has been proclaimed. The qualifications required, they've actually been dumbed down, dropped down. And again, it depends on states, right? In my old state in Ohio right now, emergency license are high school graduates. You know, there's the standard. So Johnny's absolutely right. States all have their own individual ways of laying out who it is, the qualifications needed, and the type of whether you can work in an elementary setting, whether you can work in a, you know, in a secondary setting. But in Wisconsin specifically, just to point out, I'll be factual, you have tier one and tier two licenses, all right? And the tier two license is, well, that's actually a teaching license. The tier one license is the, you're not a teacher, but state law requires that public schools only hire teachers. So we're going to circumvent the law by creating another class of teachers called tier one teachers, of which your qualification is that you have a bachelor's degree. And so you can see what I'm pointing out here is that you're actually not a teacher. You are proclaimed a teacher by state, you know, legislative maneuvering back and forth. In other words, because we have a teacher shortage, and when it comes to reporting such things as how many, quote, teachers do you have working in your district, one of the things Wisconsin has always been wonderful about is actually creating a huge smokescreen when it comes to reporting teachers, because the emergency license allows you to skip forward and proclaim that, yes, you do have teachers. Because the requirement, though, typically says you have to commit to getting a tier two license then. All right. So back in the day when Tony Evers was the Department of Public Instruction state superintendent, a lot of this came forward, and I pushed back in heavily because I kept saying, this is not a solution to the shortage. This is an end around the problem, and actually diminishes and in fact hides the reality. And put it this way too, because I was involved in this state licensing and putting forward soon, special education, quote, teachers, you could become a special education teacher by simply filling out the paperwork for a tier one license, which was a bachelor's degree and a commitment to go back to school to get your special education licensing. And at the time, I don't see this in the article, but it was like three years. And I pointed out, I'm like, it's unreasonable to think that any unlicensed, quote, emergency teacher who's in a special education classroom full time all day long is going to actually go back to school, night school, typically graduate school, to get their special education licensing while they're also working full time at the same time as they're actually doing both of these. You couldn't do it. However, what I was always pointing out is that this really serves, though, the way, again, to pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes, because when you find out, and I was always thinking this, I was really trying to advocate for the profession of teachers to say that this downgrades and degrades and continues to just make more of a problem with actual fully professional licensed teachers. But think about this. You're a family, you're a parent of a special needs child in Wisconsin. You have, by law, mandated that your child gets an IEP and gets a special educator. Right there, that law then should be that when you don't have a qualified special educator, you don't have the personnel to actually legitimately say that you're complying with the law. But because of this emergency licensure, that's an end around the law. And the reality is that there are kids out there and families being served by, most of the time, really passionate individuals who really want to do the best thing by kids, but they're not qualified. They're not special educators. They're emergency licensed people who give a damn. That's the best way to point it out. But they're not special educators. And I said, this isn't the answer to the problem at that time in 2018, particularly special education. And I look at this article, special education is still the most number one awarded emergency license in Wisconsin to this date. So that's a crime. That's a crime. I mean, I'm going to put it this way. Tomorrow, I'm going to go and apply for my emergency airline pilot license. Okay? Government said it's legal. Jacob, as far as you know, you're getting on my airplane. I got a license, dude.
Tim, isn't I'm not fraud? Getting on this plane with you under any circumstance. Yeah. You understand me, Tim. I don't care how big the shortage is. I'm not flying with you without a proper license.
And I think parents, although again, in the best case scenario, which is never the reality of a parent and a family's lives, but it's to say, no, until I get a qualified licensed special educator, a qualified licensed phys ed teacher, a qualified licensed secondary English teacher, until I get that, no, we're not coming. We're not coming. And the state, you have to fix this. And you don't fix it by, quote, creating emergency licenses that actually don't give any type of special properties or qualifications to, again, well-meaning people who give a damn and want to help out. But the reality is that they're not qualified teachers. And actually, going all the way back to No Child Left Behind, highly qualified teachers is mandated. And emergency licensure, that was actually an end around to be able to meet that, quote, highly qualified standard. So this is a sham. It's a mess. I'm going to leave it at that and let you guys make fun of me.
Well, I'm going to make fun of you, Tim. I think our big picture, we're in the same, scope here. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head. This is a bigger problem in terms of how do we retain the large number of highly qualified teachers that are out there to stay in jobs, especially in special education, which we know funding has been cut to. The supports aren't in place for special educators to do the job they're trained to do. Every teacher we've talked to that's left the profession, has spoken about, just not having the support they need to do good teaching. So when you're highly trained to know what children need, and that need is not being provided for by, and I hate to pick on the states, but education is a state, right? by the states, or we could open up a bigger argument for like why federal funding was so important to states as well. You know, but I think the big picture here being we know there needs to be major change in how we support teachers teaching, which ultimately means investing in our children's futures. But Tim, I would play, I guess it's not devil's advocate, because in the end, I think we want to see the same thing, you know, better improved support and funding for good teaching to take place. That means, you know, limiting class sizes. That means, you know, making sure teachers have prep time and hours to, you know, do the grading and the different things that go into the job that isn't just being with kids for a big chunk of the day. But in the meantime, here we are. We're in a situation where there is clearly a shortage. I hate to call it that because, again, as our listeners know, both you and I know there isn't a shortage of teachers. There's just an inability to retain them. And
well, that's a whole other data set we need to blow up.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like you said, I just want to play this advocate. In the meantime, I'm a school leader or I'm a teacher in a building. We're spread extra thin. We need people, and we have some really great folks, like you said, not just only well-intentioned, but qualified in some ways, generally often with life skills. Sometimes they're military veterans. Sometimes they're, you know, experienced coaches. Other times they're, you know, coming out of industry where they've done some teaching. Right. Mm-hmm. Who are saying, actually, I saw this firsthand in the, you know, the labor collapse in Detroit. A lot of automotive workers who had a lot of high skill to offer, knowledge to offer in high schools and in middle schools, whether they were writing, you know, whatever their jobs were, whether they were accountants, whether they were engineers of all different kinds, designers, draftsmen, all kinds of different professions. When the automotive industry collapsed in the 2000s, actually, there's probably a couple different historical dates we can pinpoint that on. There was a big flood of emergency teachers from that industry into education, and schools benefited. They got some great teachers. And one of the things, Tim, I want to play devil's advocate on possibly here, or just another view, is if I'm a school leader and I know that there's somebody I can get into my school who is safe to be around kids and has a knowledge, they might need some support on, like, I believe wholeheartedly that you learn a lot in accredited teacher programs. Obviously, I teach in one, but I wouldn't teach in one if I didn't believe that teacher training, teacher education is really important. But I also know that, like in Wisconsin, these are one-year emergency certifications. So I'm saying as a principal, hey, I've got to get somebody who's not just a sub in this classroom, who cares about kids, who passes security clearances. I know that's not the right term, right? But for all intents and purposes here, who can be in my classroom. Tim keeps saying it's a pulse, but I you know, having been in this situation, I know it's more than that. That's worst case scenario. And I'm not a worst case scenario guy. Worst case scenario, Tim's saying that there's a loophole here to put anybody in your kids' classrooms. To me, that's as scare tactic as, you know, the extreme left and the extreme right like to make us believe. I think there are good people. I think, Jacob, you sent 7% increase in the emergency licenses in Racine.
Yeah.
There are some really good people who are great writers, who are voracious readers, who are good around our kids going into education. Are they as fully trained as Tim is saying they ought to be, and by state law historically were required to be? No, that's the loophole that I'm worried about, Tim, too, is if we make this opening, which we've done and had to do, does it diminish the responsibility of the state to hold that standard firm?
Yes, right? And that's my issue, dude, right there, is that I think what you're talking about, and you know, we've covered this topic about, you know, alternative licensing pathways, identifying great people to get them into a position to do the job. Yeah, and Johnny's got that ferocious and voracious. Jacob, thanks for pointing that out. But I think that's a totally other issue about actually making a commitment to figuring out ways to get people into teaching who could be great teachers to get them the qualifications they need. And again, when we say alternative, through different ways to get their education, to earn the certification through different modes, through different modalities, yeah, through different ways, that is a responsible, in fact, maybe innovative way to address the reality of saying that actually the one way only to become a licensed credentialed teacher really has been a drawback for the longest time. That's true, but that isn't what's happening through the, quote, emergency licensing. It really is this kind of an ability to say, as you pointed out, to a principal who's got 3 open classrooms in August and
that
the kids are coming and they got to put, quote, a responsible adult to make sure the safety of the kids is guaranteed.
With
some qualifications, but whether there's a commitment to creating qualified educators through the emergency licensing pathway, I don't see that. I see I see the optimism in programs like we saw and we interviewed at Western Michigan University, where they're taking apprentice approaches to getting school bus drivers in teacher education programs so that they could keep their job and become a licensed teacher to get that credential. Because I don't care if when I hire my neighbor who says, yeah, I can come over and look at your pipes. Look, I don't know what I'm getting. I want a licensed plumber. I want a licensed airline pilot. I want a licensed doctor. I want qualified people. I want an accountant who understands what they're doing. And to insist on that is what all American citizens should be doing, to insist on a minimum qualification that you be certified in the profession or occupation that you are going to do the work, and that you as a consumer, a customer, a student, a parent, that you're getting what it is that you're supposed to be getting. And because we have a shortage, and if we continue to figure out ways to solve the principal's problem with 3 open classrooms in August, we will never solve the problem of why he has or she has 3 openings in August. That's all I got to say.
I think the problem here is the operative word in this idea is that it's supposed to be an emergency teacher's license in an emergency situation, like Johnny brought up. I just have these 3 openings. There isn't time. We need to have a person do it. Then you hire somebody with this emergency teaching license. Tim, you're telling me that you've been dealing with this problem here in Wisconsin since 2019. And I'm seeing
16, Jacob.
2016. It's 10 years, Timothy.
Yes.
10 years, and we're up 20% in the amount of these licenses being issued since 2022. And that's 3 years ago.
And I said that is what would happen is that you won't solve the teacher shortage with this. You will just increase the number of emergency licenses because it will continue to exacerbate the shortage and or exodus. It will create more need for less qualified teachers by doing this.
And we're not, like we said, you know, in Johnny's specific situation, we're okay with the idea, you know, yeah, if there's really an emergency and it's not a 10-year solution to the problem, okay, for this semester, maybe these things work. But once the system starts to rely on this temporary emergency measure as the new status quo, as the new way that they're going to deal with this as a policy, we'll just fix it with emergency teachers for a decade. Then it really starts to show the flaws in this tool. This tool is not for this. Fix a flat is great. But if you've got 4 tires with fix a flat that you've been driving for a decade, you need to go to a real mechanic. You need to get new tires on that car.
That's a good summary of it, Jacob, because I want to just emphasize, and I think Tim hit this too, is like there are some really great people out there who are filling in here, who are pinch hitting in spots where we absolutely need you, and kids are lucky to have you, and we appreciate you making that career change and putting in those extra hours to enroll in a program to get certified in an alternate pathway right? Especially in our rural districts. This is common. This has been around for a long time. But Jacob, you put it really well. And that's what Tim's been showing for years, is this is a floodgate that got opened. And now here we are drowning in flood water. And we need to do something differently, by and large, to support our teachers, to make teaching an accessible career for more people, because we flat out need to be able to provide kids with great teachers. And this emergency stopgap, you know, with well intention, also has the flip side of the coin, where, like Tim's showing us, right? It also opens up the door for a lot of, you know, ill intention of devaluing what it means to be a teacher, to not solving the bigger problems that principals and superintendents have in their districts of retaining teachers, you know, and fixing the problem ultimately for the future of our democracy. Not to hyperbolize here, but that's a reality here, right? Busted pencils, we're talking about. Public education is the bedrock of our nation's democracy. So the least we could do in public education is, well, democracy, as we know, in the bigger scheme of politics right now is under fire in our country, right? The least we could do is, you know, support it from our classrooms and our communities, where we are the foundation of it. We are at the roots. So, hey, if you're listening out there and you were curious about emergency licensing in Wisconsin or wherever you're at, Busted Pencils, we appreciate you listening, because Tim laid it out. I tried to play devil's advocate, and I think we landed, Jacob, on the right spot where, well, intended to be a small fix, you know, to help get by. It's become the norm, and that's never good.
Well, I'm thinking right now, fix the flat. You're out there. You heard that. We'll take you as a sponsor. Why not? And now it's time for your moment of zen. The establishment, whatever rewards it gives us, will also, if necessary to maintain its control, kill us.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with homerooms, class in sessions, and always loads of fun with Jacob's producer's choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You know you can always catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.